beginning of Kartik Nam workshop. I'm not going to entertain you. I'm going to work you. It's going to be a workshop. And probably not too much that's new to you, but hopefully by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, it will finally make sense to you. So before we start that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Kartik, because Kartik fever is really picking up. You can see it in the numbers. I thought we'd start just by reading a little bit. The whole 16th Vilas of Hari Bhakti Vilas is about the potency and glories of Kartik. So I thought we'd just read a little bit about that. This true with our appetite. Just as Lord Damodara is known to be very affectionate to his devotees, his favorite month, Damodara or Kartik, is also very magnanimous because even the small service rendered in that month is accepted as very great. This very valuable human form of life is rarely achieved by the conditioned souls, and even rarer is the opportunity to observe the vows of Kartik, which is very dear to Lord Hari. The benefit one receives by observing vows in this world accompanies a person for only one lifetime, but the benefit one achieves by observing the Kartik vows accompanies a person for 100 lifetimes. They're very, very powerful. I'll read a few individual little benedictions that are given. Krishna's mercy sale. O Narad, one who discusses Bhagavad Gita during the entire month of Kartik will never again return to this material world. So just by reading Bhagavad Gita, it's such a very basic thing, but just by doing that, you get out of this place. O lion-like sage, one who glorifies the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of Lord Hari during the month of Kartik, whether for his ultimate benefit or with some material motive, will deliver 100 generations of his family.
Wow.
Not too bad. O sage, during the month of Kartik, if a person daily recites even a single sloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion, he will attain the merit of studying the 18 Puranas in their entirety. It's a lot of benedictions governing Kartik. O foremost Brahman, hear now the glories of offering a ghee lamp during the month of Kartik, which is very dear to Lord Keshav. One who offers a ghee lamp during that month will never again take birth in this material world. Just a simple act of offering a ghee lamp. So make sure it's ghee and not oil. Mm-hmm. Ghee lamp, he's saying. Very be careful of the details. Okay, by offering a ghee lamp before Lord Vasudeva in the temple or in the courtyard, during the month of Kartik, one achieves the highest perfection of going back to Godhead. Now, what most people are not aware of is that there are 5 essential limbs of Kartik. They're also given here, and they're very, very simple, but they're essential limbs.
Can you repeat that, Madhuri? I missed something before I joined there.
Oh, yeah, either the temple or the courtyard of the temple. Which is interesting because we have a courtyard.
Yes.
So it's too crowded in the temple. You can offer it from the courtyard and get the same garden. Okay, during the month of Kartik, one should rise early in the morning for the pleasure of Lord Hari. So, first limb. Second limb, take a morning bath early. 2, serve and worship Tulsi. That's 3. 4, offer a ghee lamp. And at the end of your vrata, celebrate a festival, which means basically kirtan and prasad distribution. And of course, we can't forget, because it's also essential to the month, although it's not one of the 5 parameters, is the chanting of Damodara Asika. This is also mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. During the month of Kartik, one should daily recite the famous prayers Damodara Asika, which were composed by Satyavrat Muni. The offering of these prayers is the best form of worshipping Lord Damodara. This is the best form of worship. in this month because it attracts his mercy. And the interesting thing, although Prabhupada in his genius arranged for the Dhammada Asika to be sung at night and be a huge preaching, and it's very powerful the way he's done that. But Hari Bhakti Vilas tells us that it should be done in the morning. So if in your family situation you have to go to work, kids have to go to school, coming home hours are irregular, then it's probably better to do it in the morning. You know, or then you can do it all together as a family. So it's a very, very powerful month. But I want to read you something from Prabhupada, just to give a different angle of vision on it. This is a letter to Jai Pitakamaras, 30th of January, 69. You have asked about the specialness of the month of Kartik, and the answer is that it is a special inducement for persons who are not in Krishna consciousness to perform some devotional service. The persons who are doing nothing in Krishna consciousness, it is an indirect inducement to take to devotional service in earnest seriousness every moment in Kartik, is Kartik. In this connection, there is a good example that sometimes a store gives a special concession to attract new customers. But for those who are already customers, there's no need of a special sale. They will purchase at any cost because they know the important value of the goods. Similarly, those who are pure devotees do not aspire for any concessions. Out of spontaneous love, they try to engage themselves in devotional service 24 hours each day, 365 days every year, without stoppage. So this is an interesting angle on it, and something that we should be aware of, because, you know, being the Kali Yugians that we are, we have a tendency to forget the preciousness of what Prabhupada has given us, and actually how dynamic and powerful every single little tiny thing is. I'm just going to read a few other things from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Just a few other things. This is everyday routine. This is not Kartik. Just by offering obeisances to Lord Hari, even once, a devotee can attain his transcendental abode. Prabhupada's got us doing it every day. Even if one offers obeisances to Lord Hari with duplicity, all of his sinful reactions that have accumulated during hundreds of previous lives are at once eradicated. Even if you're a duplicitous fool, rascal, still so much benefit. Simply by worshipping the Lord with an offering of any flower, one becomes eligible to reside in the supreme abode of the Lord. Just by offering a flower. One who worships the lotus feet of Lord Hari with offerings of tender tulsi leaves never returns to this material world after attaining the abode of the Supreme Lord. This is not Kartik benedictions. This is everyday, 24/7 benedictions. Lord Prakasha becomes very pleased with a devotee who prepares a garland of tulsi leaves and mandris and then offers it to him. Indeed, he awards such a devotee residence in his spiritual world. Those who offer incense to the Supreme Lord achieve prosperity in this life and enter the spiritual world in the next. Just as the incense smoke rises, the devotee who offers incense every day to the Lord advances toward an exalted destination as a result of this devotional activity. The purification one achieves by bathing in hundreds of millions of holy places can be achieved simply by smelling the remnants of incense offered to Lord Hari. Lamps give us vision and upliftment. The more a devotee offers lamps to the Lord, the more he makes advancement. Lust, anger, and pride are all born of ignorance, as well as one's material entanglement. All are destroyed simply by worshipping the Lord with a beautiful meal. So it's pretty powerful. The process we've got you know, this is why, you know, those who are aware of what they've got, every moment is Kartik. Because every moment, if you're conscious, you begin gaining the same benefits. So this brings us to the point of realizing that we have to approach Kartik with intelligence. Now that's a big number because you have a choice of 84 lakh types of intelligence. I don't want to make it into a big discussion, but we'll cut it down to just a couple of questions, and from the answers we give, we'll understand where we're going with this. So, Kartik is coming. Am I going to perform vratas because I want pious credits or because I want Prem Bhakti? Okay. Am I going to approach it as a process wala or a personalist?
Personalist.
Okay. Do I want to love Radha Damada, or do I want to use and abuse the mercy? Oh. Yeah? Now, we think, oh yeah, that's, you know, these are a given. But they're not a given, because we have a subtlety about our contamination we have to be aware of. So when we do Kartik Vrata, we, don't get caught up in the externals. Don't get caught up in having to fill your day with activity. Don't get caught up with numbers. Get caught up with developing, you know, you pinpoint. Okay, you do the essences that we talked about. You do the essence. And you do the things you're very attached to. But then you look, okay, what are the weaknesses in my devotional life? What are the weaknesses? Is it something about my relationship with devotees or with guru or my relationship with Nam? What are the weaknesses that I want to work on? And you use the mercy of Radhika to help you with that. You pray to her about that. And don't let it finish with Kartik. Radharani's mercy doesn't end on the last day of Kartik. Is ongoing. So if you use the month to, you know, to facilitate building a relationship with her based on you realizing your needs in your Krishna consciousness, and that you want to actually meet those needs, you don't want them to be around for much longer, and you're depending on her mercy for her to illuminate your heart so you know what to do with them. You know, and in that way, Kartik can be very, very special. You find that those who approach the swallows and after a quick fix and after results and all that, day after Kartik, back to what it was. You know? The temple will be packed all Kartik. It will be practically empty the day after Kartik. But if you're actually wanting to use Kartik to develop your Krishna consciousness, develop your love for Adhisham, then that their mercy during Kartik should be propelling you and pushing you forward in your Krishna consciousness after Kartik. Yeah? Not that Kartik finished. Next year, next special. It's such a crazy mentality. It is such a crazy mentality. If we're actually, you know, like, got it together, we're going to realize this is such an amazing opportunity. Usually Radharani has eyes for no one but Krishna. This month she has an eye for all we very fallen conditioned souls. We're going to talk about numbers to her. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. We should be wanting to develop our relationship with her and her devotees that we have association with here on the planet. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Good. Any questions on that? You okay with it? So be a little careful. Don't just, you know, hold this, tick them off every day. You know, not like that. What's the value of that? What we want is relationship. What we want is love. We want to develop our love. So, okay, good. So, let's have a start of our workshop. We're going to be focusing it around Shiva Ushupanishad 7. So let's have a look at that first. That's 402 in our book. Maybe we'll chant the verse 3 times first. Maybe you can lead us, Maradona.
ीतोपतप्तरसनस्सनरोचिकानु किन्तु आदरादनुदिनं खलु सैव जुष्टा स्वाद्विक्रमा भवति तद्गदमूलमन्त्री
like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. One thing to be very aware of here is that although Rupa Goswami is mentioning at first name, character, pastimes, activities of Krishna, the emphasis is on the chanting of the holy name. Because if we're looking at the internal path given by Sri Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami, everything is going to come from Nam. Nam is the Bad of Rasa, Nam is the Bad of Astakali Lila, Nam is the Bad of everything. So when you have proper care of that bud, you're nurturing it, watering it, caring for it, it's going to naturally open. And sequentially, everything about Krishna and his realm and his Golok is going to unfold. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandhava stresses this very, very much, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, that it's not that we can jump over. Not that we don't read about Krishna, we don't read about Mahaprabhu. That's a part of our basic daily activity. But we don't try and force things to manifest in our hearts. Anything forced is distorted. Anything forced is distorted. The other thing is that we don't want to fall prey to Mana Dharma. The Sanatana Dharma, there's Nam Dharma, there's Mana Dharma. Mana Dharma means culture of the mind or mental concoction. So if before our hearts are purified enough, we become too absorbed, try to be absorbed. In pastime, many devotees who chant the lack, they read while they chant their lack. That's an offense to Nam. There's no growth in that. is not recognizing, it's actually impersonalistic, it's processualistic. Because Nam is a person. If Arundhati is talking to me and I am busy reading a book, how's she going to feel? You're being ignored. It's going to be a disaster. So, you know, if we actually want to do it in a way that's going to be a natural evolution of the heart, a natural evolution of our relationship with Nam, who is Radhasham, then we're going to do it by following what Rupa Goswami is saying here. Carefully chanting every day. Carefully chanting every day. In this way, a natural relish, not a forced relish. A natural relish. It will spring from the heart. It will awaken within your tongue. Your tongue will lose its taste for Cadbury. Your tongue will want to taste Nam. It's as simple as that. So simple we can overlook it. But be aware of that. And then, by following this process, the disease is gradually destroyed at the root. At the root. You know, if we don't take care to destroy the disease, at any time it can become a disturbance. In the sahajistic world of Nam, illicit sex and one lakh a day is fine. It's almost the norm. But it's an indication that the disease is far from destroyed at the root. Because the whole process of chanting Harinam, if you're actually a follower of Mahaprabhu Swami Bhagavanga, is Chittadarpana Mantra. We are cleaning out the heart. We're removing all the trash. Prabhupada makes an amazing statement. Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. Good to see you. Prabhupada makes a very amazing statement in Bhagavatam. He says that material desires are the trash of material contamination. If you want to get rid of the romance of your desires. this definition is a pretty good one. But you don't have books.
We can give them
mine. We can look.
Part two.
That's part two, yeah? There was a part one there, Scott?
Yeah, that's
what I'm using. Oh, you're using it, okay.
Sorry.
Then there's one in here. I give a whole set. Then you can, otherwise it's difficult to follow.
Can I drop this?
You have a book
on Benny?
Yeah. You're okay then?
Yeah.
You need more light?
No.
You okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so just to give an idea that, you know, what we're looking at in this seventh verse, we're on page 402 of the first volume. In this first verse, it's just a short sloka, but there's a lot in it. And being aware also that Rupa Goswami is making it clear that the fact that we can't taste Nam is not Nam's fault. Sometimes we say, it doesn't work. You know, the thing is that it's our fault. We're in a disease condition. We have the jaundice of religion. Okay, so I want to have a look at a bhajan. We're going to use it as a meditation rather than a bhajan. This is in 481. Just put us in the mood. We'll chant Hare Krishna three times. And we'll do it meditatively as we usually do at the beginning of the class. I really want you to use these sessions not so much for chanting Nam, but for hearing Nam. Because our main difficulty lies in our ability not to hear. We just have a hard time with hearing. We're expert at hearing the mind, but not so good at hearing Nam. Yeah? So let's have a listen to this. Oh glorious, oh glorious, the holy name of the Lord, the abode of immortal transcendental bliss. The supreme absolute truth, who possesses an eternal form of sacred syllables, has descended in the form of the holy name. Thereby he shows mercy to his own devotees while showering boundless compassion upon all fallen souls. I'm going to read this again because this is just, we're getting to know it a bit. Because with each time that we chant Hare Krishna three times, I want you to be meditating on each verse. Huh? Oh, glories, oh, glories to the holy name of the Lord, the abode of immortal transcendental bliss, the supreme absolute truth, who possesses an eternal form of sacred syllables, has ascended in the form of the holy name. Thereby he shows mercy to his own devotees by showering boundless compassion upon all fallen souls.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare.
Hari, Krishna, and Rama. He is the auspicious resting place of all living entities within the universe, and he delights the minds of all souls. Wise sages maintain great reverence for his holy name and constantly sing it by filling their mouths with the sound.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Destroying pure auspiciousness upon the living beings. Without you, there is no other friend to rescue us from the ocean of material existence. Without you, there is no other friend to rescue us from the ocean of material existence. You have come for the deliverance of all fallen souls.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
For all souls within this world, there is much misery and sorrow. Hare Nam. If someone calls upon you just once, feeling himself very meek and lowly, possessing nothing, and seeing no other remedy for his relief, then you easily destroy all his sorrows.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If one simply obtains a faint glimpse of your actual identity, then all sorts of terrible miseries are cast far away. Indeed, the very form of suffering itself is easily broken to pieces. Bhagavan Note says, O glories, O glories to the holy name of Lord Hari. O Hari Nam, I perpetually fall to the ground in hope of attaining your lotus feet.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
point of making it almost a cliche, is nam and nami are non-different. Nam and nami are non-different. You hear it so many times, but has it really entered into our hearts? Has it really entered into our lives as a reality? I want to discuss this today because one problem that we have is that we're constantly repeating. We don't contemplate them. We don't enter into an understanding of them. So this is called parrot preaching. Not a lot of value in it. Yeah. So let's have a look at page 416. I want you to be very honest with any questions that you have, any doubts that you have, because this is a bit... The holy name is Sri Krishna. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of God Himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. You're not going to realize that Krishna and the holy name are not different unless you really work at throwing out the offenses. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance. But in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the absolute are all as good as the absolute himself. Think about that when you're chanting. This nam that I'm struggling to deal with is actually Krishna. Actually Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta said that you can understand how attached you are to Krishna by how attached you are to chanting Hare Krishna. To the extent that you're attached to chanting Hare Krishna, to that extent, you can understand you're attached, actually, factually, attached to Krishna. One is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name. Interesting statement. And in this spirit, distributes the Holy Name to the world. One who chants in that spirit, the spirit of being an eternal servant of the Holy Name, one who chants in that spirit without offenses, is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the Holy Name and the Personality of Godhead are identical. This is a very essential point. If we want to come to the platform of chanting without offenses, we have to be very convinced that I am servant of Nam. And if we can add a few adjectives to that, it's very helpful. I am fallen servant of Nam. Not only am I fallen servant of Nam, but I am fallen servant seeking reinstatement. If you've fallen, say you're working for some very wealthy person. So many perks go with that job. Wonderful relationship with the master. Everything is wonderful. But somehow or other you make a mistake. And you're asked to leave that service. Hare Krishna, get it. You're asked to leave that service. So you can think, okay, I'll just get another job. So you've fallen, I'll just get another job. But if you actually have a relationship with that person, you're attached to that person, you've lost your position, but you want it back. You want reinstatement. Yeah. If we can chant in that mood, I am fallen, I'm an offender, but I want to be a servant. We have to remember that the foundational root of all rasas is santa, but the active working principle of all rasas is dasya. Without dasya, you don't go to vatsalya, you don't go anywhere. They're one within the other. So this essential thing, especially when we are chanting Nam, when we're dealing with Swayam Bhagavan Goa. You worship Goa Narayan in the mood of Dasya, you go to Vaikuntha. But you worship Swayam Bhagavan Goa in Dasya, you go to Golok. Why? Because Swayam Bhagavan Goa, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahyade. This idea, we have to use this karti to do a bit of work on yourself. Not just to rattle off a few numbers. Use the mantra to do a bit of work on that damn hard heart of ours. Yes? Do some work on the heart. Make it a heart workout. So this is the first thing that we have to be aware of. That we're not going to realize. Realize means something has become your reality. It's what you're living in everyday life. Realization is not just words. Realization is activity, what you're actually living. So if we want to come to the platform of offenseless chanting and in that way understanding, realizing, not just understanding, but realizing Nama Nami are not different. And first thing we have to be a little careful of, when we pick up that feedback, we open the mouth, am I doing this as master or servant? Am I doing this as master or servant? Am I the controller of Nam? Or am I a recipient in need of his mercy? So, so very, very important. Any questions on this so far? We're okay with it?
I just said.
Yeah.
What does it mean to chant thinking I'm master?
I got these rounds to chant. I got a lot of things to do today that are a lot more important, but I've taken this vow, so I'll get these rounds chanted and out the way. That's what it looks like, practically speaking. Or, like chanting, yeah, it has its place, but there are other things I need to do, so I'll multitask. You know? Any relationship, especially, you think of a very close relationship. If a partner within that relationship offends that relationship but doesn't want to lose it, isn't he going to be very careful in that relationship? Super careful. That's our position. We have to be aware that we have fallen from grace. We think we're so wonderful because we see it from our tiny, puny perspective. And then the gods are laughing at us. What we do is peanuts. You chant three likes a day, that's peanuts for the demigods. What's the value of three likes a day if there's inattention? Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. We'll read it about it later, Sinharanam Chintamani. If there's inattention, it's going to get you nowhere. Better to chant 16 rounds attentively than 3 lakhs inattentively. And not only, how's that attention going to come? We're not talking process wala, we're talking personalist. If we're talking personalist, that attentiveness is going to come because you respect Nam. You want to develop your affection for Nam. realize, you don't realize you heard, now I'm your person. I want to know you as a person. Let's follow the process coming to realize that you are a person. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
When you say you identify the non as a person, but isn't that person Krishna only, Mahasvara? They are not two different, or non as a person is different and Krishna as a person is different, Mahasvara?
That's a very, very big subject, because non is not only a person, he's an amazing person. Nam is like the hand of Krishna. You know, Krishna's doing everything that he wants to do, but this hand will go down to the lowest of the low and drag him up. So Nam, when he is fulfilling that function of saving the very fallen, is Nityananda Ram. So you'll see that at different stages of our evolution, Nam will be performing different functions of Godhead. A very basic function of Godhead is Guru. A very basic function of Godhead is Baladev, especially when he manifests as Nityananda in this age of Kali. So then, you know, like, and the other thing we have to be aware of is that Nam, Vrindavan Das Thakur talks about a lot about this in Madhya 23, that Krishna, because he's a personalist, he's a supreme personalist, he doesn't want to impose a form on us. This is me. Love me or hate me, but this is me. Not like that. The whole process is such that as the heart is uncovered and our attraction and our attachment rekindles, awakens, reawakens, then that person that we are attracted to will manifest in the heart. That person will manifest in the heart. We see within Mahaprabhu Lila, for somebody, that natural attraction was Ramchandra, Murari Gupta. Yeah? His natural eternal attraction was like that. So it's a very individual thing. Nam is not into multitasking. He's not into mass conversion. Nam is into individual relationship. You want to be part of it, or you don't want to be part of it. That's up to you. But that's what he's offering. So we're remembering that we're talking about a particular process. We're talking about the internal path given by Sri Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami. So that path, everything is based on Nam. Everything is going to be revealed through Nam. Now at this point it's very important also to remember that in the second verse of Shikshastika, when we're talking about Sarva Shaktis, all energies, all Krishna's energies are in Nam, because Nam is Krishna. So then we are talking about not only internal, but external material energies. So this also, I want to talk practical, I don't want to talk theory. So the practicality of that is that if you are not attentive when you're chanting, if you're attentive hearing Nam, you're connecting with the internal energies. That's going to take you some very wonderful places. If you're not attentive, you're connecting with the material energy in the form of the mind. Where's that going to take you?
The dinosaur.
Huh?
The dinosaur.
Eternal. Okay. Yeah.
So you're saying that Nam is like energy of Krishna already?
You can't say it's an energy. It's energetic and energy is same. You know, Nam, and you know, when you can't separate Krishna from his energies. If you do that, you're an impersonalist.
But his energies are also within him only, whether we say different other energies. So because you said that he's like a hand of Krishna, and you know, that it reveals different things depending upon
you. No, but you don't remember when we studied Adi 5. When we started Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5?
I was not in
this class. I went in this class. Okay, amazing chapter. We say, I mean, this is a very important point that Krishnadas Kaviraja is explaining there, that we have to be very, if we want to actually, you know, leave our position and come at least to Madhyam, then we have to understand the difference between tattva and working principle. Tattva, Krishna created the material universes.
Universes.
We hear it all the time. Krishna created the material universes. But working principle, he did it through Balaram. Balaram actually did the work. Yeah? So in that sense, Krishna is not going to come down. You know, what did Mahaprabhu do, and what did he instruct Nityananda to do when he was in Puri? You go back and preach. He was absorbed in his ecstasies of separation. But Balaram or Nityananda, he went back and did the preaching service. Does that make sense?
Little sense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's a big topic. Any other question? How are you going, Mahendra?
It's like a...
You're okay? Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just come from the airport.
It's a tablet. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati talks about.
Huh?
Of the bullet with the potency, the empty bullets.
Uh-huh.
So the holy name, full manifestation is actually the potency within the tablet.
Okay.
One can be chanting, but the medicine is not taking effect.
Yeah. And that's because of inattention, or not having received them from an appropriate source, outside of sampradaya. Okay. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of Godhead directly. Maybe that's something that would be interesting to put in front of you when you chant. Write that down. And put it in front of you when you chant as a reminder. It's an amazing sentence. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the person I've got in directly. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has clearly said, Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Svaradi Yada. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 2, 2, 3, 4. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. Everything is service. Not going to manifest. Why isn't he going to manifest? He's not going to manifest because you're going to offend him. If you don't have a service mentality, why is he going to manifest? And he's too compassionate to manifest. If he can manifest, you offend him more. He won't do it. Yeah? This service and the submissive attitude begins with one's tongue. Interesting. With the tongue. Think about what you do with the tongue. Seva Mukha Hijivado. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. Since the holy name and Krishna are non-different, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement not only chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, but also do not allow their tongues to eat anything that is not first offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Interesting. Our Prabhupada makes that little leap. Because Nam and Nami are non-different, not only you're going to serve Nam by chanting, but only eating what Krishna eats. What's Krishna Nama say? Sweet little point. Any thoughts or questions?
You're very quiet today.
Yeah.
Can I ask? You know, I mean, if you look at our society, and then if you look at our, some of the senior members of left, they've been very serious in the chanting. And so how does that, I mean, isn't it you're supposed to raise up, Krishna's supposed to protect you, how do you fall down?
That's a big one. You can look at it from many angles of vision. The one that comes first to my mind is the weight these senior men carry on their heads in the form of unqualified disciples. Practically speaking, that means we should be conscious that everything we say and do has its ramifications for our living, has its ramifications for this mission. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that it only takes one blasphemer, one disciple who's a blasphemer, to cause the fall down of a guru. You have one disciple who's a blasphemer of Vaishnavas, that's enough to finish him. You look at the risks these men are taking, you know, in their service to Prabhupada, their love for Prabhupada, they're taking so much risk. You know? That's always my main understanding, because I had the good fortune to work closely with a number of senior men who have fallen, amazing souls. Bhagavan Prabhu, Rameshwar Prabhu, Harikesh Prabhu, amazing people. Super powerful people. And I remember that when Rameshwar Prabhu, he was Maharaj at that time, he first experienced difficulty. He got some of his senior men to do take a check on his disciples' following of the four regular principles. More than 80% weren't. How do you wear that? The other thing is that we're a very young movement historically and socially, and we make a lot of mistakes. One big mistake in the 80s, and God knows what it did to, you know, like three biggest preachers fell in 86. You know what was happening at that time? It was by consensus, not with any real understanding. They weren't offering the bhog to Krishna because Guru is as good as God. They were feeding these men bhog. You know what that means? That's nasty stuff.
So sentimentality was the part of the disciples? Or?
Yeah. And they weren't even aware of it for some time. And then it became the question of every guru, is this open? Is this open? You know, like that. The other thing we have to be aware of is that one of our duties as a disciple is to pray for the protection of our guru. This is a major responsibility of a sincere disciple, to daily pray for the protection of their guru. Because the quickest way to destroy a movement is to break faith in authority. And the whole institution, whole Vedic culture is based on authority.
So if you can destroy a major authority figure, you can destroy the movement. We saw it partially happen when those men fell. Whole of Europe collapsed when Bhagavan Prabhu fell. Whole of Australia collapsed when Bhavananda Prabhu fell. Harikesh Prabhu's, you know, area fell. You know, so many. It was madness. It's all like a pack of cards. You can look at it from many, many, many angles of vision. You know, like that. There's also, where was that, in the CC? No, it's in Bhagavatam. That the demigods are envious of these advanced devotees. They're frightened, they may take their position. So they send their agents in the form of women and unqualified disciples to pull them down. So many angles you can look at it from. Yeah? Any other questions at this point? Okay. Yeah, okay, let's move on to the next one. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Transcendence Himself. As the Padma Puran states, the holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is like a Chintamani gem, a touchstone. That name is Krishna personified in sound and is therefore perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. Thus, one should understand that the name Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. So this is a very important statement by Prabhupada because he's bringing it down to our level. Okay, you don't have it, you obviously haven't realized it, but you should understand it. And you should have faith. And you should continue to chant in that light. Now one thing also that's very important that Prabhupada is pointing out here is that Naam is perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated. Sometimes people talk about Sudanam. That doesn't make any sense. Naam is always Sudha. Our chanting of it is not, but Naam is never not Sudha. So it's ridiculous to say Sudha Naam, because Naam is, that's his constitutional nature. Just a little pickup, you know. We throw stuff around like that, but it doesn't make any sense.
So what does it mean when this term is used?
What's that?
It means that it's chanting. Chanting that is Ashuddha.
You see, it's the chanter that's Sudha or not Sudha. It's not Naam.
It's a commonly used term.
Very commonly used term. But this is why I pick these things up and raise them to discuss with you. Because sensual difficulty is not the major cause of staying in this world. Misconception is. And misconception manifests in our language. Mm. We say so many things that don't make sense. Yeah? Mm. So Sudha Naam is a typical one.
But you know? What should we say instead of Sudha Naam?
It's Naam.
Yeah, but then like that aspiration to chant the name purely, I mean like that, how, I mean...
I want to approach the lotus feet of Naam, purely. Naam is always Sudha. We are not. There's another interesting point. So much preoccupation with my Manjari form and my this and my that. First become liberated. First liberation, then you're eligible for spiritual form. So here, this is another reason why it's so important. If we actually want to come to that platform, we've got to take Nam seriously. We've got to understand things as it is. Am I being too heavy for you? Heavy for Karthik? Okay.
The Namavaska, the liberation comes over at that stage per se.
What's that?
So the Namavaska itself can liberate, or does liberate.
You know, see this doorway? If you stand in the doorway, that's called liberation. Right? Now, at liberation, you have to make a choice. You want to turn around and walk back into this madhouse, or you want to walk through the doorway. To walk through the doorway, you need a spiritual form. So there's really no sense about talking about liberation without bhakti, because you can't evolve that form of yours, that beautiful form of yours is not going to evolve without devotional service. Without attachment to the divine Lord Sri Krishna, Radha Shyam. It's not going to come. So you can get to liberation, but if you haven't got the shoulder of Krishna's lotus feet, you can't walk through the door. You can just stand at the door. Some people do that. Buzz. It's called Brahman realization. They just stand at the door eternally. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, sometimes you have to make things graphic to really understand how stupid it is to waste your whole life working in a being an impersonalist, you know. Gotta stand in the doorway. Is that okay?
I was asking because you said that first get liberated, then the spiritual form. So I meant that when we are endeavoring to chant purely, then we don't have to, you know, think about liberation, because that will take us.
Well, liberation is one of the two witches that will keep us here. We don't worry about the thinking. We, you know, the thing about chanting that's wonderful is that you can give up thinking. You can give up thinking. It's all about hearing.
Think about it, actually.
Yeah. But it's not about thinking, it's about hearing. Yeah. Okay. Is that okay? Any other questions? Okay, good. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshasika declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he's endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. Note, Prabhupada's giving us a clue. Chant with attention and reverence. It can be at your convenience, but when you do chant, chant with attention and reverence. Lord Chaitanya recommended Kirtane Sarahari, CC Adi 1731. One should always chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the most suitable name of the Supreme Person of Godhead. The name Krishna and the Supreme Person Krishna are non-different. Therefore, if one concentrates his mind on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, the same result is achieved. Now, what I want to point out here is that the word Mahaprabhu is using is sada, not nirantara. At nista, it is impossible to always chant the holy name, 24/7 chant the holy name. You can't do that at nista. Sada means always in the sense of every day regularly. This is a very, very important point, because there's a lot of, this is another misconception that many devotees have. You know, third verse is talking sada, not nirantara. Nirantara means, you know, you're beyond body concept, you're beyond sleeping and eating. You can chant 24/7. But sada means every day, regularly. Like that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments on this in terms of Bhagavatam. In this age, hearing is more important. This is a beautiful one for you, Mother Damodara, and for Giriraj. This one is for you. Listen carefully. In this age, hearing is more important than thinking. Because one's thinking may be disturbed by mental agitation. But if one concentrates on hearing, he will be forced to associate the sound vibration of Krishna. Krishna and the sound vibration of Krishna are non-different. So if one loudly vibrates Hare Krishna, he will be able to think of Krishna immediately. It will come spontaneously. This process of chanting is the best process of self-realization in this age. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya preached it so nicely for the benefit of all humanity. One of the biggest troubles that we have is that we think too much and don't hear enough. We think too much. We don't hear enough. So don't only apply it to your chanting. You watch your mind when you first get up in the morning. It's rattling. It's rattling like anything. It's got so many things to say. Best thing you can do is Mangalacharana. You just chant Mangalacharana, it shuts up. And you get off to a good start. Just while you're doing the things you have to do before you take bath and all that, just chant Mangalacharana. Wash your mouth, of course, first. Raghuram says they don't like a dirty mouth. But, you know, like, you know, little practical things we have to do. We can't do the little things right. How can we do the big things? Guru Govinda Maharaj said, something you do is everything you do. Meaning, how you do something is how you do everything. So just by seeing somebody do a small thing, you get an indication of their mindset, you know, their value structure, everything, just by seeing it. Be a little careful. But you try it. You try it. When the mind is just rattling, you know how it does? It just goes off on some groove, so much in the habit. We've given power of attorney to the thing. So I guess it's going to take a while to get it back. But, you know, like when it does that, you just chant loudly. Favorite bhajan, favorite verses, whatever it is. Shut the thing up. Where's it going to take you?
Okay.
Or a madhouse. One of the two. Yeah, sure.
The previous verse, it says that with attention, which means you're hearing.
Right.
What? How do you chant with reverence? How does that mean?
That means, you know, like, what's so beautiful about culture? You know, culture is philosophy lived. It's practically doing things. So unfortunately, we don't have much culture. So it's very difficult for us to get a feeling of what reverence means. So the thought is just, you know, Nam is so special, Nam is Krishna. I should respect him. But if you can develop a culture, a practical activities around that to enforce that concept, is very good. If you have a time every day you chant, a place that is your regular place for chanting, your bead bags have an asan that will get put on top of the fridge one day, on top of the, you know, microwave the next day, you know.
Dining table.
What's that?
Dining table.
Dining table? Yeah, next thing to eat. You know, because all these little things, it means you don't care. Means you don't care, it's just not so important. If something's important to you, you're careful where you put it. We're careful how you deal with it. We wash our own clothes every day. Do you wash Japa Mala's clothes every day? Do we wash a bean bag every day? You know? These are the little things. They sound trite, but it's these little things that practically develop a mood of reverence and affection in the heart. These little things. That make sense?
Yeah.
We're on page 418. Holy name means the name is non-different from the substance. Here, if you become thirsty, you want water, the substance. If you simply chant water, 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 it will not act. But holy name means if you chant Hare Krishna, then you're associating with Krishna personally. How many of us wash our mouths before we chant? You know, simple things like this. Hands, mouth. How many do that, you know? Yeah. These little things. We have a tendency to take everything super cheap. You know, grab this, grab that. Time magazine and Bible times the same. To say it this way, otherwise you won't catch it. Okay. But holy name is if you chant Hare Krishna, then you're associating with Krishna personally. That is holy name. Here the name is contaminated. Whatever name you, but God's name, Krishna's name, is holy name. That is non-different from God. Otherwise, don't you see they are chanting Krishna? If Krishna Naam is not Krishna, how are they making advance in Krishna consciousness? They are associating with Krishna directly. That is the holy name. Even just remembering holy name, not just name, but holy name, that has a certain energy to it also. Yeah.
One question on the chanting of holy name. Now, different religion practices have, say, the Sikhism, they say, Waheguru or Allah. So they, are they secondary names, or and they have the same potency? How we understand that?
Yeah, secondary names don't have the same potency. We only chant primary names. It's also important with naming children, you know. One devotee was talking to me about naming his daughter, and he was attached to a particular name, Lavanya. And I said, yeah, but it's not a primary name of Radhika. If you want to make it that, then you have to Lavanya Radhika. Then you go to primary name. Mm-hmm. So our preoccupation, and that's why the bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are amazing. So many primary names. Just a song that is sung here at Mangalati. It's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur song. It is full of names of Krishna. Packed. Then he completes it by saying, so chant the names of Krishna. Yeah? Chant the names of Krishna. Yeah?
So when different religions, say if I follow Sikhism and I do that, so do they progress slowly toward the situation that one day they will chant the Krishna name?
If I mean a devotee. It's not going to happen automatically because they're not following Bhagavad Dharma. They're following moral codes, that's good. But, you know, and you know, the thing is that they need the mercy of a Vaishnava. And because of the massive extent of Prabhupada's preaching mission, good chance they will. In Mayapur, you know, like I used to do book distribution in the villages, and most of the people that helped me were Muslims. I mean, the Mayapur Muslims are very special. But, you know, they would, you know, they would be the ones who would help me distribute those books. So just by being in contact with Prabhupada's books. And there was another time where it became quite a nasty scene because I was doing distribution of naam and prasadam in the villages to the kids. And it became really nasty because the Muslims said, how come the Hindus, you know, they can chant their prayer and they can get prasadam, but my kids aren't getting prasadam. So then we got one of our friends who's very expert in, you know, he's a Bengali and also very cultured in the language. We got him to write a prayer to Allah that had Harinam within it. It's Nama Bas because it was broken up, the syllables were broken up, but the whole Mahamantra was in that prayer. So then we were going out to the villages and the kids and the parents were in ecstasy, the Muslims were in ecstasy to chant prayer about their Allah and get the Shaman. But they're chanting Harinam. Nama Bas, but it's probably better than not chanting, which for the most part is offensive. Is that okay? Is that making sense? You have more questions?
No.
That's okay. Because God is absolute, His name, His form, and His qualities are also absolute, and they are non-different from Him. Therefore, to chant God's holy name means to associate directly with Him. When one associates with God, one acquires godly qualities. And when one is completely purified, one becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. Now, that doesn't mean completely purified means you empty out the room and you're a pure devotee, the room of the heart and you're a pure devotee, but rather it's an uncovering. Your spiritual form, your persona will be manifested. You'll be able to understand who you are. Okay, so all that we've read is not meant as information. This is a very important point. I'm not wanting to give you information. I'm wanting to give you working tools. You know? Stuff that can help you become a little more conscious when you're chanting that these syllables are Krishna. They're not different than Krishna. And then some hope of a decent relationship will begin. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. 493. I want to use this as I want to do another 10-minute hearing session. I want to do a 10-minute hearing session. I want to do it in a very special way that will hopefully help you become aware of your level of inattention and help you overcome it. So when things get a little difficult or you need some inspiration, I want you to read this inspiration. Aharinam. Please give me the strength to always condemn the thought, let me finish my rounds. I have important things to do today. It's so opposed to the mood of developing my loving relationship with you. Harinam, please give me pure attraction and attachment for you. Please allow me to serve you. So the first service is the hearing and chanting. This is the essence of the service. So with this 10 minutes of Harinam, what we're going to do is one word each around the room. And just keep it going for 10 minutes. meditation, let's see how we go with it. I'm hopeful it will wake you up. And help you with the attention, because you've got to be aware when your term is, right? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna,
Krishna.
Hare, Hare, Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama,
Rama.
Hare, Hare.
I was feeling walking around the room.
It's such an amazing exercise. I've never done this before. It's like,
you do it for a really long time, it is amazing. This is a warm
up. Yeah, why did we stop?
Actually hearing, you know, you're actually paying attention.
Yes.
You start to get a taste of what chanting is really.
Yeah, so amazing. And everyone has an individual relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
It's really coming out.
Yeah, okay, what I'm going to do now is just go around and hear what impacted you most from today's session. Let's start with Sidharani.
Well, this exercise was amazing. It really helped me focus. So, it was really amazing. And also, the bhajan that we did in the beginning, Harinam, and the meditations, while chanting, then we were doing meditations. That
is
very powerful.
Okay.
Nam?
We had already heard a lot about that Nam is Nam different from Krishna, but the way it was discussed today, the way you put it, was very, very enlivening.
Okay.
So that was very good.
Okay.
The importance of hearing, not thinking, that really hit me. Think a lot, but hear less. And why we should hear properly.
Great.
Yeah, then it started with the praying to Srimati Radharani for the weaknesses. So to remove those weaknesses, praying specifically for that and not just taking it as a process, the month of Kartik. And this line really hit me a lot. Of course the hearing, but sensual attraction is not the major cause of being in this material world, it is actually a misconception.
Yes.
So, that kind of shook up, shook something. And fallen servant seeking reinstatement.
Yeah.
So, that was a, because we say fallen many times, but when we add these adjectives, as you said, there's a more clearer and a more specific picture.
And it also impacts the heart.
Yeah.
And it gives a direction that you don't want to stay for. You want reinstatement. That means there has to be some work on your part. Great.
One thing Mataji, is our approach to the Kartik mass.
Okay.
Is that it is not like a Kartik comes and then goes. So we have to actually get that mood for going forward for next 11 months actually. So it's work out for that. And secondly, when you gave example that Arundhati is speaking to me and I don't take pay attention and how I feel. So I always find that I'm chanting. So you know, this example, I just saw that okay, Krishna is talking now and the Naam is there and I'm not hearing. I never saw this way actually before. So then if Naam is there and I'm not paying attention or hearing, so how does he feel?
Yeah.
Actually,
the first qualification of a good servant is he's a good listener. How can you follow someone's instruction if you're not hearing? Naam is waiting to speak to you, but you're not hearing. Naam is Krishna. He has things for you to do. He wants to share things with you. But you're not hearing. You're not interested.
You're chanting, you're out.
Very rightly it says in the Naam sessions, it's at the back burner. The Naam is going on, it's at the back burner.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
The mind
there
has
is
taken,
activities.
Yeah, the, yes. You're listening actually to the mind. And Naam is somewhere in the back burner.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I thought we should call it, I'll do hearing of 16 rounds rather than chanting of 16 rounds.
Very good. These are things, you know, like when we actually become aware of something, if we make it a practical thing of our speech and activity, it'll have potency. So when something catches your attention and you think, I shouldn't think or say I'm going to chant my rounds, I should think and say I'm going to hear my rounds, that will have a very big impact. Even better to say, I'm going to hear and chant. Yeah. Or nothing.
Yes, amazing class for Kartik, beginning of Kartik. It is like really us the food for the whole Kartik month, I believe, how to have approach Kartik. And to sum it all, I think the last prayer, the inspiration for chanting that you said, that's very, very, I mean, for me, it's really, it hit me heavy.
Good.
And which I pray that I should be like whole month meditating on this.
Wonderful.
This weakness, because this is always in my mind. I have so many things, not important, I would say, truthfully, but there's so much in the mind going on. You know, finish my chanting, then I do this. So that was struck really heavy. Because it's more of developing a relationship and like not as a process thing, you know, following the vows of Kartik. So that was another big one.
Okay.
So even if we do small things, but with love and like you said one point, it is sada. Mm-hmm. It should be regular, basically.
Yeah.
So I want to focus on these, basically. Kartik.
I also really appreciated the last exercise. That was really interesting and very deep, like the listening exercise. And also, in one short sentence, you mentioned that Naam is not a mass conversion. And this sentence really hit me, you know. It's about an individual development of a relationship, individual relationship with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went around in a circle, this Harinam, I felt like each and everyone has such a personal relationship with Krishna. It's not about a mass thing, a group thing. It's mm-hmm. it's about each and everyone's relationship with Krishna.
Yeah. Wonderful.
From the very beginning, what it means to have an intelligent approach to Kartik, and and that it's such a powerful time that you should use it to work on your weaknesses, not on scoring, you know, some goals. and also that it shouldn't end with the last day of Kartik, that it should continue. And also, one very powerful thing that struck me was that how inattentiveness is connected with lack of respect, and what it means, how many things are related to this lack of respect, and
at the beginning about the preparation for Kartik was very helpful, thank you very much. And this point of not filling up the whole day with doing different activities and being concerned about the numbers, but working on our weaknesses and weakness of the heart, that to be our focus. And that it's not finished just when the Kartik is finished, that it's some transformation takes place after the Kartik. And also this exercise that we did at the end, I found it really amazing how the mind was captured mm-hmm. by the holy name. It was like, wow. And also the point you mentioned about Shuddha Naam, that the Naam mm-hmm. is always Shuddha. It's the chanter who should be Shuddha.
Mm-hmm.
To use
the time in Kartik for workout for the heart. I like the expression workout for the heart. And paying attention while chanting is includes all the details, because if it's something is important, we'll pay attention and we'll be very careful and do it in a proper time and environment and take care of the mala and everything else. It's all about chanting, it's all about hearing. And that's also striking. That's the most important.
Thank you.
Niraj? For me, Maharaj, the main thing was again the tension on the holy name, and then sometimes you are read and then, but you know, it becomes mechanical. And you know, and when we say that we respect, we know Krishna and holy name was saying, then whatever is attached, whether it is the tongue or the big bag or everything, then in the day that you show, that how much respect and how much with the reverence we have for the holy name, so you know where I stand. And also, so at times we are saying that holy name is not manifesting, and because the focus goes on the holy name. But you said, Mataji, that he is not manifesting because we are offensive, or we will offend him. So then it puts focus back now on me, that I have to chant, you know, not offenselessly, for Nam to manifest, that he is ready to manifest. It is not, he is not manifesting, the problem is my end, you know, I'm looking at that end. Problem is there, not mercy, not coming. But here,
Hare Krishna, Hare